In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Monday, June 14th, 2010, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Taking a six-month dive into history there for a moment. Welcome to the program, and thank you for listening today. In hour number two of our program, we will look at new cybersecurity legislation being proposed in the United States Senate. The chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, Joe Lieberman, and the ranking member of that committee, Susan Collins, as well as Tom Carper, a senator from Delaware, proposing new cybersecurity legislation on Friday, and we'll listen to what they have to say about that legislation in hour number two of our program. Today, hour number one is the latest in our series of in-depth conversations, and the title of this conversation is A Model for the Country, DOD and VA Health IT Information Sharing. And I'm pleased to welcome two very distinguished gentlemen to talk about this subject today. Chuck Campbell is the Chief Information Officer of the Military Health System. Chuck, it's great to have you in studio with me to talk about this issue today. Thank you for your time. And also Dr. James Peek, Senior Vice President for the Health Industry at CGI and former Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Thank you very much for being here, sir. I appreciate your time. Gentlemen, a lot to talk about in this conversation. And the goal today is not only to discuss what is happening at the agencies that you are associated with, but also to give people a sense of how the collaboration between DOD and VA might be a model for collaboration between agencies in any number of different areas, and also how this might wind up being a template that can be used more broadly in the United States when it comes to electronic health records for people like me who are not associated with the government, never have been, but still understand the benefits of electronic health records, both financially, the amount of money that can be saved when it comes to health care, and also to procure better care for ourselves and our family. So that's what we're shooting for today, and I appreciate you, both of you, being here to talk about this. Let's get started with the where we've been to get where we are today conversation. And I'll start with you, Dr. Peek. How long has this been going on between VA and DOD? When did this idea first begin that this was something that should happen to get DOD and VA together on this?
Well, when you think about it, we've been sharing records all the way back. It's in the form of paper, mm-hmm. and tubs of paper and truckloads of paper. It was Memorial Day 2002 when we started the Federal Health Information Exchange, which was where the DOD would, on a regular basis, pass information, to the VA on the health records of folks who have separated from the military. Mm-hmm. I think there's some, probably 5 million folks, in that regard. Mm-hmm. But that was, sufficient really for where we wanted to be able to move with patients being seen in both systems. Mm-hmm. That was sort of the notion, well, if you're in one system and you move over, you transfer, we'll send all that stuff over. But we have patients that go back and forth, mm-hmm. soldiers, sailors, airmen, marine. And that led to the issue of the bidirectional health information exchange. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something like 70 million bits of lab data as an example, pharmacy data as an example, that have been available to people on both sides of the aisle. Mm-hmm. If you're seeing the VA system, that becomes available to you in the DOD system and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And then more recently, the idea of the power coming to information and decision support comes from having computable data. Mm-hmm. And so the Cheddar, which is really a combination of the VA's data repository and DOD's clinical data repository, being able to provide where you have agreed upon standards of communication and agreed upon standards of data sharing, so that that information can become computable and then really participate in things like drug-drug interaction and allergy for different medicines and mm-hmm. so forth. Mm-hmm. And so it can help. It really becomes much more usable in terms of decision support for clinicians. Mm-hmm. So it's been going on really for quite a while.
Chuck Campbell, Dr. Peek mentioned something there that I had not considered, and I bet a lot of people who are approaching this conversation for the first time probably haven't. And that is the idea that the conception that I had was you go in the military, when you're finished with your service, you are looked after by the VA, and it's a one-way movement. Dr. Peek talked about people moving back and forth between the systems. And I imagine nailing down that element of it, that the VA is giving you information back that then becomes needs to be acted on by people in the MHS, is a whole complicated wrinkle to try to work on, I imagine.
It is, and it was the next logical step. I mean, if you look at the two organizations, there's 3.6 million beneficiaries that can actually receive care in both systems mm-hmm. at the same time. So that's a lot of patients going back and forth. And as Dr. Peek mentioned, with the FHIE sharing that information one way, that was great for those folks that were separating or retiring from the military, and a lot of information went, 5 million records went.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that day-to-day interaction of being able to see what happened over in the VA if you're a DOD provider and what happened in DOD if you're a VA provider to that patient so that you know what to do next. You know mm-hmm. what tests were ordered. You know what procedures and processes you had to do or were done, and now will help you make a decision on where you'd want to go. That's a very, very important piece. And as Dr. Peek mentioned also, the Cheddar, which is actually connection of the two databases together for pharmacies and allergies, really helped us do the live interaction of that information so they could do drug-to-drug checking and drug-to-allergy checking. So as that patient was being seen, right away you would know if there's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we wouldn't be able to do that otherwise if we weren't able to connect those two systems together like that. So mm-hmm. it's very important that we did that.
What was the key to getting that database connection? What were the steps there as you were working on where did you go when you finally said, ah, now we've got it, now we're making some real headway?
The important part of that is standards.
Mm-hmm.
So agreeing to this is what we call aspirin here and this is what you call aspirin here. So building upon the same standards in both systems and in the databases allows us then to be able to match up the drug over here and the drug over here so you can do those checks.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't have those standards in the same vocabulary, essentially, you wouldn't be able to do that.
Right.
So that's a very, very important piece for now, just for those two elements that we talked about, the pharmacy and the allergy,
mm-hmm.
but also as we're going forward in the future.
Yeah.
It's really got to be based on standards.
Yeah. Jim, Chuck talks about the standards that are required, and that has proven to be pretty challenging at other agencies when you're trying to decide even how you're going to communicate what individual markers each thing means before you can even decide what will be communicated and so on. If I'm at another agency and I'm saying I'm having it out with agency X about setting standards, what's your advice to get people around the table to be able to say, all right, we can all agree that this is how we're going to mark each of these individual things that we need to communicate back and forth?
Well, I would say, first of all, that what we're really looking for is not for DOD to have its own and just harmonize it with the VA,
mm-hmm.
but to say we are part of this national healthcare environment. And so, you know, there are lots of organizations, and I don't know, Chuck, how many of those you sit on in terms of the committees that work to look across the nation. Because I'll tell you, you look at the VA as an example, how many of our veterans go out and get healthcare in some other venue? Some of it we pay for, mm-hmm. some of it we don't, but it's probably 75% of veterans get some sort of care outside there in the civilian network.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we're going to be serious about having a longitudinal record of their health, we want to have that information.
Mm-hmm.
DOD, when you look at TRICARE, 65% or so of our care is delivered in a network out there. What we want is to be able to pull that in so that we can take care of that individual patient, but also have the data to understand the population health,
mm-hmm.
the demographics how best to manage a population in terms of illness as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, this bill extremely important on the individual, and ultimately it gives our system in the VA, DOD, the VA, DOD together, and then ultimately the nation the opportunity to look at health writ large.
Mm-hmm. Chuck?
So just add on to that point, so the national standard is really where we're headed together with VA and DOD. We're such large organizations. We're working with Health and Human Services and other organizations, government organizations, to really help define some of those standards and really take it from a national perspective. Because like Dr. Peek mentioned, it's not just DOD and VA. We receive so much care from the civilian healthcare organizations.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get that same information back, and we have to do that based on those standards. So it really has to be a national standard, and we're helping. We sit on many, many panels and groups that discuss those and help define what those standards are.
I'd like to talk about how that effort is going and how it progresses, I guess the steps and where the progress is when we come back. It's In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Our discussion on DOD and VA health IT information sharing with Chuck Campbell of the Military Health System and Dr. James Peek of CGI, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs, my guest for the hour on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The U.S. Army is one place where PC durability is critical, and HP delivers. HP computers go the distance, from hard drive protection to rigorous testing, for durability you can trust. HP offers reliable notebooks, desktops, and workstations at special ADMC2 prices. See the full range of HP solutions now at hp.com/HP for Army. HP computers feature the reliability and intelligent performance of the all-new 2010 Intel Core processor family.
Federal agencies are reaping the benefits of desktop virtualization. They're reducing TCO, lowering energy consumption, creating an agile infrastructure, and opening the way for cloud computing. How do you make sense of the changing desktop landscape? Tune in June 16th at 11 a.m. to hear experts from GTSI, HP, Microsoft, and Citrix discuss the growing movement to virtualize desktops. Don't miss the panel discussion on how to jumpstart your desktop virtualization initiative, Wednesday, June 16th at 11 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
A new online platform from the General Services Administration is helping federal agencies generate creative ideas for improving government while also improving openness and transparency. A White House directive. GSA officials say the Innovation Challenges platform provides agencies with a way to lower the barriers for government's use of prizes and challenges by providing a platform at no cost that simplifies the public engagement process for both agencies and the public. It allows the public to suggest and discuss solutions to government problems. The platform is currently being used for appsforhealthykids.com. Director of New Media and Citizen Engagement at the agency, Bev Godwin, says there are a lot of different benefits that agencies can derive from such challenges, one of the most important being that they only pay for the solution.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Microsoft Dynamics is a powerful financial management solution for government contractors. This accounting solution is designed for forward-thinking executives who are interested in more than just meeting DCAA, FAR, and CAS requirements. It is compliance plus. Integrated, easy to use, works the way you do. Microsoft Financial Management Solutions for Government Contractors. You now have a choice in the marketplace. Put simply, Microsoft Dynamics is compliance plus. Visit dynamicsbymicrosoft.com to learn more.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorbeck. Here's what we're working on for the Monday edition of the Dorbeck Insider, Pay for Performance. We're going to take a look at the Defense Civilian Intelligence Personnel System. We'll find out what's working and what's not from the National Academy of Public Administration. And if you have problems with your thrift savings plan, where do you go? We'll find out from Tom Trabuco of the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. All that and much more this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dora Beck Insider. It's only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, talking about information sharing and health IT issues at the Department of Defense and the Department of Veterans Affairs with Chuck Campbell of the Military Health System and Dr. James Peek of CGI, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs. And before the break, we were talking about standards and the importance of those standards. Chuck, you, as Dr. Peek said, you're involved with a number of organizations, private and public sector, that are involved with establishing these standards. So, as you said, when you mark down that a patient received X medicine, everybody knows it on both sides of the fence. Talk about how establishing those standards is going, because I know it can be challenging for some agencies to try to work with the private sector and get them to understand government ease and those kinds of things.
Well, I think it's going pretty well. I think we're moving ahead with certain standards for the data and what you call things. And it's actually working well across the federal government with inclusion of the commercial folks, too. But really, the Health and Human Services is the one that's driving the national standards. And having all the work groups and discussions and agreements on where you go with that and what you call things, I think it's actually working pretty well considering the scope and what that means to have a national standard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's actually going pretty well. I think it's going in – it's going in time to do some of these rollouts of these technology solutions that we're all looking to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have those standards first, really, and build on that.
I see two motivations, Dr. Peek. I see, obviously, the motivation of providing good care to organizations in the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
But the cynical side of me also says we want to make sure we private sector people want to make sure that we're on board because VA and the Pentagon are terrific customers. We know they're going to pay their bills on time.
And we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true, but I don't think that's the real driver. When you think about, you alluded to it at the top of the hour when you said that there's some big drivers here. One is an escalating cost growth.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is a sense that in this country, we don't necessarily get the value for that escalating cost growth.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of quality.
Mm-hmm.
And so you say, what's the opportunity here? And it's to drive down costs. The VA, in the Health Affairs Journal, just I guess two issues ago, talked about the investment that the VA has made, some $4 billion, but saved $7 billion with a net savings of $3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
over a significant period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts to give the promise. Now, is everybody reaping that benefit? There's other studies that say no, they're not yet. But if nobody has been at it as hard and as long, probably, as the VA.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the opportunity of an integrated system to put this across our business processes, which
mm-hmm.
goes to the other thing. It's not just a matter of, you know, is an aspirin, but it's how does it fit into the business process of delivery of health care so that there's agreement on the standards of practice guidelines. There's an agreement on what do you do if that aspirin, is of the wrong dosage.
Mm-hmm.
And who gets reminded about it? And does it pop up on a nurse's screen? Does it pop up on the provider's? It's those kinds of things that wind up being need to be agreed upon if you're really going to promulgate something across a significant scope.
We only have about 30 seconds left. Do you think we get hung up, though, sometimes too much, Dr. Peek, on the healthcare provision part of it and forget about the business part of it, where maybe there's not the balance that there could be?
Well, I think there's always the balance. And, you know, you always have someone watching one piece and someone watching the other.
Mm-hmm.
And they do need to come together.
All right. Dr. James Peek is the Senior Vice President for the Health Industry at CGI and a former Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Chuck Campbell is the Chief Information Officer at the Military Health System, my guest for the hour, on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. A reminder that in hour number two today, we'll take a look at cybersecurity legislation in the United States Senate with Senator Joe Lieberman and Senator Susan Collins of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. That's about about 35 minutes from now on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are higher. The Dow's up 66 points. The Nasdaq higher by 24. Shares of BP are lower as the company's board decides what to do about its dividend. The company is under pressure to suspend payment and instead steer the funds towards cleanup efforts. No decision is expected to be announced today. A new report shows the cost of employee health insurance rising next year. The PricewaterhouseCoopers report says most American workers are expected to have health insurance deductibles of $400 or more for the first time. And Sony's remake of The Karate Kid debuted at number one over the weekend, pulling in $56 million in box office receipts. 20th Century Fox's big screen adaptation of the TV series The A-Team came in at less than half that with $26 million. Chris Maurer, CNBC.
Why do we rely on just investing when there's another way? A way to measure success over a lifetime, not just a single day. Where you don't chase what's hot, you do what's right. And where there's one rule, the golden rule. We call it vanguarding. Vanguarding is a behavior, a philosophy, a call to action. So ask yourself, are you just investing or are you vanguarding? Learn more at vanguard.com or call us at 888-VANGUARD. All investments are subject to risk.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
See how Deluxe for Business helps 4 million small businesses grow. Deluxe for Business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for Business. Visit deluxe.
20,000 feet over Kandahar. Fuel running low. Ground troops need air support. The solution? EADS North America's KC-45 aerial refueling tanker. Offering the most range, fuel, and payload, it's the only tanker in the Air Force competition that's flying now when our troops need it. EADS North America will put 48,000 Americans to work building the KC-45 in the U.S. Proven capability. Ready now. EADS North America's KC-45. See it at kc45now.com.
Here's Colonel Kevin Foster, Office of the Secretary of Defense, on the Federal Executive Forum on Secure Cloud Computing, sponsored by SafeNet.
For DOD to have a cloud computing environment that perpetuates a real-time information sharing environment that's flexible, agile, secure, have single sign-on, a standardized CNA.
To listen to the whole program, made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
From defending our nation's borders to protecting the environment, cloud computing services can support your mission and serve the American public. Trust your information in the cloud with SafeNet's data-centric solutions that enable security, privacy, and compliance. SafeNet Solutions allows agencies to share sensitive data throughout the information lifecycle. From the battle space to the White House, SafeNet has been at the core of data protection for more than 25 years. Visit safenet-inc.com/government.
Wondering if you've chosen the wrong push-to-talk provider for your mission? Well, it's never too late to switch to Verizon. With the push-to-talk-capable BlackBerry Tor and America's largest push-to-talk coverage area, Verizon delivers the instant mobile voice connectivity and real-time data access your mission deserves, all on a device your people can depend on. To learn how you can put your mission on the map, call 1-800-561-6227 or visit verizonwireless.com/gov.
And now, today's terrorist prevention series, brought to you by the Metropolitan Police Department.
As authorities dig into recent terror plots, they're finding more people in the U.S. and the U.K. who've been arrested that have something in common. Anwar al-Awlaki. Pat Rowan, former head of national security at the Justice Department, says people in the United States who were born and raised here, or at least people who have spent a lot of time here, are of interest to people like al-Awlaki because they can launch attacks here without necessarily being connected to him or his organization.
I'm J.J. Green.
Recognizing and being able to describe suspicious activity is the first step in terrorism prevention. That's why the Metropolitan Police Department created Operation TIP as an easy-to-use, reliable, and confidential way for businesses and other organizations to share potentially important information with law enforcement. Be the eyes and ears of our nation's capital and report suspicious activities to Operation TIP at 202-727-9099. That's 202-727-9099 or text 50411. Because preventing terrorism is everybody's business.
Join Federal News Radio and support the Boys and Girls Clubs at Safeway's Barbecue Battle, June 26th and 27th on Pennsylvania Avenue. This great family event features barbecue and so much more. With 30 bands on three stages, free food samples, exhibits, cooking demonstrations, rides, and games. Easy to get to by Metro. Call 202-828-3099 or visit bbqdc.com. See you at the BBQ.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In-Depth with Francis Rose, and my guest for the hour today, as part of our in-depth conversation called A Model for the Country, DOD, VA, Health IT Information Sharing, are Chuck Campbell of the Military Health System and Dr. James Peek of CGI and the former Secretary of Veterans Affairs. And one of the elements, we were talking about standards before the break and how important they are both in the DOD-VA partnership and as well as other federal agencies in the private sector. But Chuck, you mentioned during the break one of the elements of that about standards that's really important that I hadn't thought of is the whole procurement end of it. How to make sure that not only are you administering the right medicine and that somebody else knows what medicine was administered, but that you're getting the right materials into the facilities in the first place to be able to give it to the people who need it. What are the implications there?
Right, absolutely. I mean, Francis, if we have two very large logistics systems within the DOD and VA. We order a lot of drugs, for example, from both sides. And if we don't call something the same, it would make it much more difficult for us in the future to perhaps, in looking ahead into the future, maybe we'll have the same logistics system, the same ordering system that we can just share between the two of us. But if both organizations call it something different, then you'll have to modify the applications to, well, if this is a VA order, you'll have to call it this. And if it's a DOD order, you have to call it this. It makes it much more complicated, much more prone to errors. And we're trying to avoid that. So if you just build it on the one national standard and do it one way, then you can build your applications around that. And it's going to make it much simpler and much less prone to errors.
And the acquisition workforce is breathing a sigh of relief over that. I can hear them. That's that noise you hear all over town about it being easier for them to do their jobs. Let's talk about where we stand today with the interaction. Dr. Peek, you left the VA in when?
About a little bit over a year ago. January 20th, as a matter of fact.
And so when you handed over, obviously going through the transition process, when you handed it off, this process off to the new team that was in place, where was VA then with their interaction with DOD on this?
We had during the time I was there, we had the Senior Oversight Committee, which spawned a number of working groups. We had very regular interaction working on these very complex issues. Paul Tibbetts is not here today, but was extremely engaged with that. Chuck actually was at the VA, moved across to the DOD. Chuck Hume, who had been my CIO when I was a Surgeon General of the Army, at one point came over to the VA. So the whole idea was to put our heads together and work collegially to try to make this very difficult thing happen. We're trying to create a common vision of the future, looking at service-oriented architecture as one of the keys, it was mentioned earlier. And so, you know, I think that when I left, I felt there was a lot of progress, but there was still, I mean, we were talking earlier about this five-year program, you know, that it And we have to have that kind of vision, and it's got to keep being re-energized every step along the way. And I'm convinced that that same sense of commitment, as you mentioned earlier, is there.
I would imagine having people who have been on both sides of it gives each side a tremendous boost to, for somebody to be able to come in and say, this is what we're up against, or we were up against when I was at the other place, and being able to give people a really inside, some good inside information.
You know, the most important people that are on both sides of it are service members that become veterans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why we exist, frankly, both organizations, you know, is to, in the military, taking care of your soldiers is a fundamental inherent, mission. And when you come to the VA, that's the mission. So, you know, the idea that we have a compelling argument to move forward on this is clearly there, and you got people on both sides working it.
Chuck, Dr. Peake talked about status when he left VA in January of 2009. What's taken place since then in the interaction between the two agencies, organizations?
Great. Well, I tell you, there's now a fully working interagency program office that was really designed to help kind of bridge between DOD and VA. When right now their focus is on health, but it's also on the personnel and benefits side that will be coming more of a focus a little bit later on. And I think that's been a very helpful organization in that there's some folks that are, you know, really working hard on both sides to make it happen, to make this data sharing happen. And sometimes you need a third organization that kind of sits over top and straddles both companies, both organizations, to really help hammer out those details. And I think that's helping a lot. So that's one of the big changes that has happened. I mean, I believe it started back when Dr. Peake was there, but it's really starting to take hold right now.
Moving forward, before we get ahead of ourselves, or I get ahead of myself, where are we today? Talk about the current status of this project at MHS.
Oh, I'll tell you, this is a great, this is a wonderful project.
Big smile on your face.
It is. This is great. I mean, right now we've pretty much, I think, used up all that we could using our current way of sharing. I mean, we could do a little bit more. It's tweaking around the edges. But this virtual lifetime electronic record and the future that it brings is just so vital. Mm-hmm. And so it's really working well, starting with some pilots. So we had a pilot going on in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
That one worked, and it's there, and we learned from that. And now we're working down in the Tidewater area, the Hampton Roads area of Virginia. And so we're actually in the part of testing those things right now to see if the solutions are going to work there and add some additional capability.
Mm-hmm.
And then we already have some other sites picked out that are going to happen across the U.S. where we can really make this happen. And working with a private sector civilian partner in being able to share that data. As Dr. Peake mentioned, over half of the care that we provide in DOD and close to that for the VA is done in the civilian sector.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't get that information back, then we truly don't have that longitudinal health record for the patients.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's actually moving pretty well with 6-month deliverables, moving very quickly to adding new capabilities. Now, honestly, by the time you add all the capabilities and really get this out there, it's going to take a few years for the organizations to even match what we're sharing right now. We share so much data between the two organizations with BHIE and FHIE and Cheddar. It's going to take a few years before we get to the point where we're sharing that amount of data.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the plan is there and it's progressing very well.
These pilots, Dr. Peake, sound very encouraging. At the secretarial level, what would you be looking for in the results of these pilots to make sure that we're hitting our marks timeline-wise?
You'd have your metrics laid out ahead of time to know what success looks like. But then the other is the issue of scalability as you can move it forward. And I know and everybody continues to look for innovation. I mean, the VA just announced the innovation initiative where they're putting money behind and asking industry for good ideas that can come in. And frankly, if you start looking at that list, many of them would link in to an extension of the electronic health record and and starts to flesh out those business processes for better care for veterans.
Mm-hmm. We will, of course, keep an eye on those pilots as they progress, and you can find information about them as we learn about them at federalnewsradio.com. And we will continue our conversation with Dr. James Peek of CGI, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs, and Chuck Campbell of the Military Health System when In Depth with Francis Rose continues in a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
If you've been around Washington as long as I have, you know the one constant is change. The players change, laws change. If you're a federal retiree or soon to be one, you need to know that some of those changes could affect your retirement future. There's one association fighting to make sure that doesn't happen, and that's NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. If you work for or have worked for Uncle Sam, you need NARF. NARF is the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then, click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. Or call them at 800-627-3394, 800-627-3394, and have them send you more information.
Newsmakers, talk to Jason Miller on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
OMB Director Peter Orszag.
For administrative savings that the agencies identify after their budgets are set, they can keep 50% of them either for that fiscal year or roll them over to the next fiscal year. In addition, we've had this problem where if you get to the end of the year and you've got an extra $100 in your account, we are now allowing agencies that forego that to roll over half of the money into the next fiscal year.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Dorabeck. Insider.
Tired of playing catch up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests for this in-depth conversation on DOD and VA health IT information sharing are Chuck Campbell of the Military Health System and James Peek. Dr. James Peek is the former Secretary of Veterans Affairs and now Senior Vice President for the Health Industry at CGI. And we have a sense now of where this collaboration stands. Chuck, I believe you mentioned earlier in the hour, this is a 5-year plan that you're on right now. Timeline looks pretty good, but where is this going to go over the next 5 years? Oh. What are the next steps? Say the pilots work that you mentioned. What's after that? Is it just the scalability issues that Dr. Peek discussed, or is, I imagine there's a lot more to it?
Well, there is a lot more to it, actually. So the part that we're talking about is sharing data, and it's usually sharing that data while the patient is being seen. But one of the things that we have to do on both sides of the departments is to modernize our electronic health record systems. And that's really kind of a longer-term plan on how we do that. And that's where we can really start looking at what things can we do together based on those standards. What type of applications can we do together? Mm-hmm. Can we buy the same thing? Can we build once and both use? So that way the data standards are kind of locked in when you begin. And so that's really where we're both headed. And all the details haven't been locked down yet exactly how we're going to do that. But we do have a plan from the DOD perspective on how we're going to build this new modernized electronic health record system and do it in a way that we can take advantage of some of the great things the VA is doing, some of the things the commercial industry is doing. We're trying to open it up so that anybody who has some innovative ways of doing business, we can incorporate that easily into this modular building block way of doing this new modernized electronic health record.
Mm-hmm. If I'm a service member, what can I expect to see? Do you have markers in mind that in 2 years X will be possible and in 5 years Y will be possible?
We do, and we can't talk all the details on that yet, but one of the things we are focused on is really building in the expanding upon what we already have for the personal health records and the ability of the patient themselves to communicate securely with their providers, mm-hmm. and to be able to call up their record and be able to see it no matter where they're at. Just if you have access to the internet, you have the passwords, you should be able to get in, be able to look at your record in a way that is clear and understandable to you, mm-hmm. and not just a provider, mm-hmm. which that may be, they may have a different look.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to really empower the user, the patient, who's really the beneficiary of all this, to be able to see the entire record, be able to see what they have, see what was done to them, so they can ask questions securely of their providers.
Dr. Peake, that's one of the most critical elements that's been talked about electronic health records in the broader healthcare debate we've gone through, is the ability of the individual user to understand his or her own record so that he or she can make decisions, better decisions, about the healthcare that they need.
I would agree with that, and I would say the other side of it is it allows the system to better support that individual with the appropriate information, with the appropriate tailored health education, mm-hmm. with the support for behavioral modification that fits their particular needs. So I think those are the kinds of things that, with the ability to bring that kind of health data together, that those decision supports for the individual, mm-hmm. can also be made, not just for the physician or the nurse.
Chuck talked about where he expects to, the kind of progress he expects to make during this, yeah. 5-year plan. What's your vision, where you would like to see the system 5 years from now?
Well, we're in agreement. Mm-hmm. I think an important piece, though, again, is this link to the national picture, where we have the visibility of what else happens to that service member or that veteran out there in the civilian community. I think it really is really is important.
Mm-hmm. We will wrap up our conversation when we continue in a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM with Dr. James Peake of CGI and Chuck Campbell of the Military Health System, my guests for the hour on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Back in a moment to wrap up.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Eric.
The U.S. intelligence community may have struck pay dirt again in North Waziristan. Locals say 18 suspected terrorists were killed after 2 strikes in the northwest part of the country in less than 12 hours. 6 missiles were fired in an attack on a house in a village close to Bagboda in the terrorist hotbed of Miram Shah, killing 15 suspected militants on Thursday. 3 more people were killed in another strike on Friday. This year alone, there have been 36 U.S. missile strikes in that area. I'm J.J. Green.
Can you imagine the number of frequent flyer miles you could earn for a flight that's nearly 30,000 miles long? Airink can. Airink supported the U.S. Air Force's C-5 aircraft modernization program by leading a test flight that flew through the Arctic cold in Alaska to the desert heat in Australia. The C-5 is 40 years old and is one of the largest aircraft in the world. Log on to ARINC.com to learn more.
Getting things done more easily from more locations and more devices. That's the power Microsoft Office 2010 delivers to you and your agency. With Office 2010, federal workers will find rich and powerful new ways to efficiently deliver their best work, whether from your PC, phone, or web browser, at work, home, or on the road. Also, give life to your ideas with new data analysis and visualization features. Put the power of Office 2010 to work for you. Learn more at msgovoffice2010.com. That's msgovoffice2010.com. The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
What about the Obama administration's open government directive? How does embracing new technology foster an open government agenda? What is the U.S. General Services Administration doing to be more transparent, collaborative, and accountable? Listen next week as these questions and more will be explored by Dr. David McClure, Associate Administrator of the Office of Citizen Services and Communications at the General Services Administration. Next week, join host Michael Keegan on the next edition of the Business of Government Hour.
Hi, I'm Renthia Rost from GEICO. Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington have been in our community more than 80 years. To ensure that the youth of today will be full partners in a better tomorrow, give a child the gift of a membership for 2010. And while you're at it, reach out and volunteer to mentor a child in your community. Go to www.bgcgw.org and tell them the GEICO sent you. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Our in-depth conversation titled A Model for the Country, DOD and VA Health IT Information Sharing. My guest for the hour, Chuck Campbell of the Military Health System and Dr. James Peek of CGI, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs. And once again, gentlemen, thank you very much for your time to be here and have this conversation. And thanks to both of you for the way that you serve the country, doing the things that you're doing to serve the military members and the veterans. It's really appreciated by a lot of people. Moving forward, big task ahead, and there are a lot of elements, a lot of moving parts here. So I'm going to ask to do a little role-playing here to close us out. I'm working at Agency X right now, and I've just been informed that we're starting a long partnership with Agency Y. And there are different cultures involved. There are different ways of doing business involved. There are different mindsets, and maybe even at the beginning, different goals involved, different missions. So again, a lot of moving parts. Dr. Peek, I'll start with you. As I sit down with this team from the other agency that I'm going to be working with, what should I be thinking? What should I be looking for as far as cues? All of these things. What should be in my head?
Well, first of all, you need to understand their mission. And because ultimately that's what they're going to be held accountable to. And then to know your own mission well and understand where those overlaps might be, because that's what's going to feed the opportunities, frankly. You look at CMS, they pay claims, Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, mm-hmm. A wonderful organization, tremendous reliance on IT support. And then you start looking at the pay for performance and the opportunity to do that well. They're going to have to integrate the clinical data to be able to take us really to that next step. And so they're going to be looking in that direction. You look at Social Security Administration as an example, already leading in many ways to shorten the disability determinations because they're reaching out to try to gather health information electronically, mm-hmm. and realize that everybody is going to want to protect that information. And so I think the point is understanding really what the missions are and where they overlap and then what the common challenges are, like mm-hmm. security, as you talked about.
Mm-hmm. Chuck, your advice for somebody in my situation?
Well, I guess from my perspective, one of the things I would take a look at is where you're at in your organization as far as what do you have for an electronic health record system now. If you don't have one, as you mentioned, a lot of folks don't have one yet.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great opportunity now to either acquire an electronic health record system that already is developed on using those data standards.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to buy one and then try to modify it later. And the greatest thing about the Nationwide Health Information Network is you don't have to have the same exact system as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That I think is a driver for really getting the electronic health record really proliferated out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
In that you can, smaller places can use smaller systems and larger places can use larger systems as long as you can access the Nationwide Health Information Network and be a part of that. But if you don't have one now, you can buy one, get one, build one that has that interoperability built in.
Mm-hmm.
I think having that built in now is going to save you a lot of time than having to try to do it later,
mm-hmm.
because that is very hard to do, and then you have to build, you know, the translators, and so if you don't want to change the way you're doing business. But then that's the other piece is, as Dr. Peek mentioned, you have to understand your mission and your vision of where you want to go for your healthcare organization and make sure you have an electronic health record system that matches your business processes.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy a commercial package, more than likely you're going to have to change your business processes of how you provide health care based on what that package is,
mm-hmm.
so that you can take advantage of those capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge lesson learned from our perspective in DOD, in that if you buy something large and mm-hmm. you put it in, you're going to have to modify your processes to match that application, which is not really what you want to do.
There is a tremendous amount here, and I appreciate the fact that we were able to cover just a portion of it today. And because there's still a lot to discuss, I hope that as this issue progresses, that both of you will come back and talk to me some more about the progress being made and the new challenges that present themselves, as I'm sure they inevitably will in a timeline like this.
Absolutely. I'd love to come back.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dr. Peek and Chuck Campbell. Chuck Campbell is the Chief Information Officer at the Military Health System. And Dr. James Peek is Senior Vice President for the Health Industry at CGI and former Secretary of Veterans Affairs. This conversation archived later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And you can learn more about the efforts that the VA and the Department of Defense are making on that website also later today. A reminder that in hour number two of our program, which will be right around the corner on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, a discussion about cybersecurity with the Chairman and ranking member of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, Senator Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut and Senator Susan Collins of Maine, respectively. Also, Delaware Senator Tom Carper, all three of them introducing legislation about cybersecurity in the federal government and the structure thereof. And you'll hear that conversation in hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.